Hello and welcome to this special SearchSecurity.com Messaging Security School podcast. I'm Eric Parizeau. In this podcast, we're going to play a little fact or fiction pertaining to the future of email attacks. Our resident expert today is Tom Bowers, a technical editor with Information Security Magazine and security director with NetForensics, an information security consultancy. Thanks for being here with us, Tom.
Thanks. It's a pleasure being here.
Okay, Tom, you know how this works. I'll read a statement, and you'll tell me if that statement is fact or fiction, and then explain why. So, let's get started with the first one. Fact or fiction, malware is being used for political gains.
Absolute fact, and it's probably the most surprising of all the ones we're going to do today. Most people don't realize how much malware is playing in the political arena. For instance, most recently in the Palestinian-Israeli conflict this past summer, it was well-known and well-documented, all of the pro-Israeli and pro-Palestinian hackers that were targeting each other, each other's websites, each other's infrastructure, banks, certainly military sites, et cetera, all being attacked. Certainly the Chinese and Taiwanese continue to play this game with malware, sending Trojans, keyloggers, as well as simple website defacements. And most recently, the United States is being targeted. The NASA website went down this past summer. It was defaced. So again, this is being seen in a much more common situation where malware and attacks are being focused for political reasons. So it is absolute fact.
Okay, number two, fact or fiction, we should only look at the effectiveness of an anti-malware tool when evaluating it.
Well, it all depends on who you're asking. The security guys would say it's fact, but indeed it really is fiction. When you evaluate products for deployment into your enterprise, while security effectiveness or effectiveness of your anti-malware technology is certainly important, it can't be the only thing. Unfortunately, you have to remember that you are a business risk management function within the company. So you need to look at its effectiveness in performing anti-malware, but you also need to look at the security of the technology itself. Can it be hacked? Can it be turned off? So that those malware attacks for political gains won't gain any traction. You have to look at the ease of installation, because that talks about total cost of ownership. Do you have to bring in professional development or professional services? You have to look at things like scalability. How easy is it to use? Now, what's the reporting structure look like? You need to be able to provide a return on investment to your business executives. So reporting is going to be very, very big. And lastly, you need to look at some of the cost structures. Are you going to have to spend on a per appliance basis? Are you going to have to spend on a per seat basis? So certainly the cost structure is going to be an important part. Overall, you have to remember to look at the bigger picture. You have to look at the deployment costs, the administrative costs, as well as the technology itself. So effectiveness is only one small part of the evaluation criteria.
Item number three, fact or fiction, the desktop is the best place to stop malware because everything ends up there anyway.
I'd love to say that that's fact, but indeed that's a big fiction. It's probably the worst place to try and catch all of your malware because it's the last line of defense. If it fails, if you don't catch the malware at that portion, you've now infected a desktop. And with most of the modern-day malware, let's call viruses, worms, et cetera, they're going to now begin to propagate on the network behind the scenes. And so it's probably the worst place. So the obvious question is, where's the best place? The best place is always, always, always at the gateway. Wherever that border is, that's the most cost-effective. It's the best value for your money to do things at the gateway. Certainly the next most cost-effective is going to be the network itself. But the last place you want to try and catch it is going to be the desktop because, as I said, once it gets through there, it's through and propagating across the network. So it's a really bad place. So this is definitely a fiction, and unfortunately one that I see all too often. His company saying, oh, well, I've got this great antivirus and intrusion prevention on the desktop. Well, and you know, that's really nice to have, but that's the absolute bare minimum anymore. You need to have that layered defense, that integrated defense between the desktop, the network, and the border appliance.
Tom, do you think that's an industry-wide problem? Is there too much emphasis placed on the desktop?
Absolutely. That's a great question. And there is absolutely too much emphasis on the desktop. It is critically important. And with modern-day processors, the new dual-core technologies coming out from both Intel and AMD, it is improving. The challenge is that now as they are bundling desktop firewall with desktop antivirus, with desktop intrusion prevention, that's very CPU-intensive, and it takes processing time away from doing the applications, and the applications are where business is actually being done. So we've got to get away from this emphasis on the desktop and start looking much more holistically.
All right. Item number four, fact or fiction, anti-malware doesn't need business unit support to deploy since it affects everyone the same way.
This is a huge fiction. I've talked to a lot of security professionals across the country, and unfortunately, most of them tend to think of themselves purely as security professionals. They keep forgetting that they sell pharmaceuticals, or they sell microprocessors, or they sell insurance products. Their company sells something else, not security. And the biggest problem here, let's take an instance of a pharmaceutical, since that's near and dear to my heart. You have malware that comes in, specifically spam, et cetera, that may talk about a woman's private parts or a men's private parts. And as a security professional, you say, oh, that's spam, I've got to filter it out. Unfortunately, if you're in the pharmaceutical sector, you're likely to get those kind of pictures. You're likely to get those kind of emails in from doctors who say, hey, we've had an incident here with a bad drug interaction, and attached our pictures of that interaction so that the lab scientists at the pharmaceutical company can begin to do a troubleshooting process and find out what's going wrong. Those are perfectly legitimate emails. So if, as a security professional, you completely forget that you're a pharmaceutical person and you block that, you've not only stopped business from happening, but more importantly, or just as importantly, you now have the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, breathing down your neck because you've now blocked an adverse event reporting, which is against regulations. So you've actually violated FDA regulations by blocking that particular piece of content or email. So you have to remember that you have to engage the business units to find out what needs to be blocked, what can be blocked, what cannot be blocked, who you're doing business with. That will help determine how to set up your policies, how to set up the filters for your anti-spam, antivirus, anti-worm technologies.
Okay, and Tom, just for the record, the pharmaceutical industry is near and dear to your heart because of your experience working in the industry, not because of your fondness of using pharmaceuticals, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Fact or fiction, item number five. Integration of anti-malware technologies is essential for an effective defense.
This is absolutely fact. You have to begin to go beyond looking at just an anti-malware, anti-spyware, antivirus gateway, and then doing a standalone deployment of an anti-malware on the desktop or in the network. You have to think in terms of doing these things holistically. And by that I mean you need to begin to work with the vendors to force them into talking to each other, quite frankly. You need to be able to get reports from the desktop so that those desktop reports goes to a central policy server. The central policy server then in turn talks to the gateway appliance and vice versa. So the gateway appliance says, hey, I'm seeing a lot of this particular type of spam. If some of it gets through, you send that down to the desktop where the local anti-spam filter begins to get that information and be more accurate in its filtering. You have to look at a much more integrated defense. I think of it in terms of a mesh or a puzzle piece where you leverage. You're going to see on the border the vast majority, it's going to catch 80% of your spam, your virus, your worm traffic. It's going to catch a huge amount. but some of it's going to slip through. So you need to work with the vendors to get them to send that data, that live feed data, if you will, that says, hey, I'm seeing 22 of these different variants of the worm. I'm seeing 15 different types of viruses. I'm seeing 600 different types of spam. Your central, your internal technology needs to know that as well. So the network-based appliances, the desktop software, they need to know that information so they can fine-tune their own database. So the obvious question is, or the obvious statement is, Tom, that's fiction. Well, it's not fiction anymore. I'm very used to working with security vendors who are looking at either currently doing it, currently working in that kind of model, or in very near term. And what do I mean by near term? Well, probably no later than second quarter of 2007, they're going to start having that kind of integrative communications back and forth, so that they each of them will use or do what they do best, let's say anti-spam. And that anti-spam appliance will talk to the other appliances inside the network so we can fine-tune those rules. This type of integrated defense is becoming a reality. So this actual number five here, this is really fact. It's not only true right now, but it's going to get better. I think 2007 we're going to see a very large increase in the number of different technologies that will integrate. And I don't just mean reporting. I'm talking about true integrative reaction, where you detect with one thing and you actually do the control mechanism with another appliances. For instance, I'll use an example, let's say, of Snort. Snort may see some type of intrusion, and it sends that control signal over to your border firewall, where the border firewall will actually react and stop an outgoing signal. That type of integration is really here now and going to get better in 2007.
All right, Tom. Last one. Pertaining to the future of email attacks, fact or fiction, policies and procedures are not really needed to fight malware when you have good technology.
You know, again, as a security guy who loves technology, I'd love to say this is fact, but this is really fiction. The reality is that policies and procedures set the foundation. It says to your users, these are the types of web links you can click on. These are the types of things you can do on the desktop. These are the types of documents you need to expect in a normal business environment. Those policies and procedures are really your foundation. The technology is great, but technology is only as good as the policies and procedures directing the users to do the appropriate actions. So policy and procedures are really the baseline, you will, that they're really that concrete pad that you build a house on. So you set the policy and procedures first. Those, of course, are based on business needs. So you always evaluate the business needs. You create your policies and procedures. Then overall, you set an overall architecture for what types of things you'd like to do to combat malware. Then you go out and find the technologies to implement and make that architecture work. But overall, it's based on policies and procedures. So this is definitely fiction here. You definitely need to have policy and procedures here in place.
All right, great information about the future of email attacks. Tom Bowers of Information Security Magazine and NetForensics, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
For more materials in our Messaging Security School, visit searchsecurity.com/messaging. You can also listen to more of our podcasts on our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric Parizeau. Stay safe out there.